global information network. Okay? I just link it off to that. But don't take this as the gospel truth, but I think it has got a lot of truth in it as well. Truth as in, you know, meaningful ideas, not as in, you know, gospel truth. Alright, okay. So can we have the light, please, gentlemen?
Thank you. It's actually very short. And if you can't hear the music, then it really doesn't matter. It's just some dodgy music anyway. So it's just a few minutes. I think it's about 2 minutes. So let's see whether it works or not. Thank you. Okay, you can come back now.
Another picture, which I've been trying to talk about since last year, or in the formal environment. Anyway, you know, these are the things that maybe we should bear in mind. It's not just doing it as we see right at the beginning of the clip that we just get people in the church and then we just do things there, and that is called fulfilling the commission or whatever. It's more also about going out in different environment, doing different things, all for bringing the gospel and the message to people and confirming and also reinforcing other people's faith, if they have gone astray. Anyway, that's something else. That's just something else for you guys to think about. Now, for my last session, I just want to talk to something completely different, because yesterday we were discussing about who is going to where and how many people have applied. And we realized that this year might be a turning point, per se, that a lot of people, how many do you have now? 18 volunteers so far has signed up for trips this year. And I really thank the Lord, and we really thank God that previously, it might be just a couple, or previously we have to wait and wait and wait 2 months before a trip, and we started to worry, who's going, and we start to phone people up and things like that. But now, this year, we thank God that right at the word go, we already have 8 teams so far who have signed up for volunteering trips. And some of you have been before, and this is a good sign, and hopefully this will be a turning point to enable more and more people to participate in this kind of ministry. However, I want to jump a few steps or a few miles ahead and look at something which is completely different, or actually it's very relevant to me. Is, I entitle this, I got a slide here. I call this, you know, after we are done. After we are done. Some of you have been, some of you will be going, and in actual fact, I'm not just talking about African ministry, because to a certain extent, all of us, hopefully has been, will be, and will continue to minister in the church in various capacities, whether it is in small group, Bible studies, fellowships, sermonizing, RE teachings, or go off to Africa or South America or wherever, you know, to do the work of God. There is a time that we have got to say that, you know, after we are done, after we have done certain things, whether it is finishing an RE lesson, whether it is finishing coming down from the pulpit after you have done your sermon, after you have come back a trip or trips from Africa or whatever, there are some things that we need to be aware of. Now, you might have heard all of this before, but I would just want to emphasize it once again, mainly because I have worked with many volunteers, I've met with many volunteers, and sometimes it is easy for us to fall in certain traps. Knowing me, if I list the top 10 tracks that people will fall in, then we'll only complete the first 3 anyway. So I just stick to 3. In this case, we'll only do 1. Okay, sorry. The first thing, or the first top 2 things that we guys have got to be aware of at any time, all right? And I can't really distinguish between this one and that one, so we have a joint number 1. First, joint number 1 is, let's read Luke chapter 17, verse 10. Or without reading it, can you tell me what that verse is about? Don't look at it. Yeah. Don't look at it. What do you mean by which one?
No, sorry. Can you repeat the verse?
Luke 17, verse 10. This is a verse that we must remember. Obviously, we don't. Okay, turn to it. In actual fact, we have already mentioned this verse previously during this week. At least once. I think top, first and foremost, at the back of mind, or in the forefront of our mind, right, is this word. What is it saying? It is saying that, you know, we have to remind ourselves that we are what? We are unworthy, we are an unprofitable servant. I mean, this is a mentality that we must always, always maintain. That is, regardless of what we have done, or what we have not done, regardless of what we have achieved or what we have not achieved, right? It really doesn't matter. Whatever we have done for God, or whatever we think we have done for God, we remain forever as his unprofitable or unworthy servant. That is a very important concept in our mind. We do things not because we want to do it, it's not because, you know, we can do it, not because, oh, we have avoided certain traps and we have, you know, avoided or sorted out certain difficulties, problems, or we have caused so much growth, or, you know, we have done, distributed how many leaflets, or taught how many lessons, delivered how many sermons, etc. All those are relevant, because at the end of the day, we need to be, we must fight the tendency to become proud in our heart. We all experience it if we are honest with ourselves. We have this wishy-washy, warm, bubbly, sorry Joe, feeling. Not in that context, of course. You know, that after we have done something, you know, not bad. And we always, and we also tend to, I'm not saying it is wrong, don't get me wrong, okay? I know, whatever I say, it will always get taken out of context anyway, so it really doesn't matter. You know, we always, We get so used to it and say, oh, glory to God, thank God, or, you know, along those lines. But somehow, we need to be very sensitive ourselves, you know, are we truly genuinely giving the glory and the praises to God? Because it is very easy for us to romanticize, you know, what we have done, you know, if only, only. We always have a hero complex, okay? For girls, you are waiting for, you know, the hero to come. And then for boys, you always want to be the hero of the story, okay? That's not what I'm talking about. What we're talking about is, you know, we have done something. We think about it, it tends to dwell on the good things and somehow neglect it on the difficulties or problems that we might have encountered. It is very easy. I have done it before. I'm sure that all of you, hopefully, might have experienced a little bit of it to know what I'm talking about. But it is something that we must remember. We have got to remember that we are an unprofitable servant. All right? That is very, very important. Right? Otherwise, down the road, you will start to keep count how many times I've been to Africa, how many sermons I've delivered. You know, what if you're an RE teacher, you start to keep count, you know, what are my students doing? You know, after, you know, I taught them 10 years ago, they were my RE students, you know, look at how great and how strong and how profitable they are in the church today, you know, I have a part in that, etc. You know, you have got to banish those thoughts. Just to give you a very realistic example, you know, even a few years back, you know, I keep a spreadsheet, confession time, sorry, okay? A few years back, even up to a few years back, I kept a spreadsheet. What's on that spreadsheet? Date, it's only two columns. Date, and places visited. It's as simple as that. It's just something as simple as that. Right, okay? In what year, what month, I went to this country. Tally. Why do I keep that tally? In the name that, you know, I keep proper records. In the name that, you know, you need to have, you need to know what you have done and where you have been, and, you know, I'm someone who, you know, keeps statistics and records and, you know, detailed reports and all these things. In the name of that. But somehow, there is this vain idea that, you know, it is that, when next time someone came up to me and said, oh, how many times have you been to Africa? Oh, I've been to Africa X amount of times. 3 times in Kenya, 5 times in Ghana, 10 times in that, and blah, 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 blah. And I can just burn out the statistics. Wow, that makes sense. But maybe not. I was slightly exaggerating there, all right? No, but the point that I'm trying to get at is very simple. You know, a few years back, I just deleted and no longer count. And genuinely, today, if you ask me, how many times have you been to Africa? I would say, I've lost count. I don't know. I did not keep count. Because it's just simple things like that. It might, you know, just push you over the boundary to the other side, to the dark side. It's always like that. Honestly, when we're teaching NSSC or students, okay? One thing that I kept on emphasizing to the students is, we always want to be so clear about black and white without thinking about the thousands and millions or billions or, you know, the infinitesimal, right? Infinitesimal. Never mind, okay, whatever multi-syllable word that it might be, okay? That shades of gray that is in between. We're so used to black and white, we've forgotten there. And it is not just simply this is white and this is black, therefore I step either from this side to that side, that side to that side. It's not that, it's always a gradual process. Of course, I was probably talking about sinning, you know, offending against God and things like that. But somehow in our mind, when we work for God, it is so easy for us just suddenly, unknowingly, gradually, because we have done it, because we have done it so successfully, we have done it so often, that these kind of ideas come to us. So this is something, the share top number one idea that I want to sort of pass on to you. Now, what's the second thing that I will rank it as the share, you know, number one spot? It actually is very simple. Fight laziness. fight or go against laziness. You say, why would I rank it as, you know, reminding ourselves that I'm trying to, that's very biblical, you know, fight pride and things like that. You know, that is something that is great. I understand that. But why do I put fight laziness? What do you mean by that? In actual fact, we humans have a tendency to relax and even becomes lazy after we have done something. Think about any projects, think about anything that you have ever done. Oh, this is our own, 2 months' time, I know that I'm going to do the sermon, so I spend time sorting for the Bible, praying for it, doing all kinds of things. Oh, in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to do a lesson, so I start sorting up the lesson plan, you know, I prepare all kinds of resources and materials and things like that, because I have got a goal, I have got an aim, I've got a target that I want to achieve. Okay, fine, you have done that. I'm not going to talk about how well you did it, or the outcome of it, or whatever. You have done it as a matter of fact. And then what happens? It just goes, phew, thank God, done it. Whew, now I can, what is the R word? Relax. We've all done it, haven't we? We can now relax. As if, you know, you existed for the past 3 months solely for the purpose of delivering that sermon. After you have done it, phew, now I can get on with my life. Isn't it? Some of you are planning to go to Africa, whether it is next month, February trip, or December, which is 11 months from now. You know, you have something to look forward to, you pray about it, you do whatever you need to do about it. That's good. Preparation, planning, everything else is essential. But once you have done that, sometimes you just say, been there, done that. Yeah? That is very dangerous. Because if we fall into that trap, then it shows what? It shows that, you know, we are not really understanding the totality of what Jesus' mission, or what Jesus' responsibility, which were entrusted upon us. It is not, you know, we are not just a project manager. We don't work for projects. As I said right at the beginning, and definitely last year, you know, it is a lifelong, it is a forever, you know, duty and responsibility that has been given to us until the end of our natural life. Prisoners got, what's the word again? Exiled to Australia. And what's the term of their exile? For the term of their natural life. And I borrow that in this context. It is, you know, for the rest of our life, we don't know when our natural life will expire. But throughout the remaining time that has been given to us, that is what we need to do and continue to do. Just to illustrate some very simple examples. A lot of you have been to, you know, well, I say six of you amongst us have been to Africa. And I think one common theme is, you know, we spend a lot of time praying, we spend a lot of time on preparing, both before and while during the trip. So sometimes, you know, we pray 2 hours or even more during every day during the trip. You know, we spend an hour in the morning, we wake up, you know, at the break of dawn and well before the sun comes out, you know, at a very unnatural hour to us. We woke up and pray, and then whenever we have time, I've seen so many volunteers do it, okay? Whenever they have time, they just read the Bible, you know. It's like, I do wonder, when we finish our job, yeah? When we finish, you know, our mission or whatever task that we're doing, how many people actually can keep up what they have been doing during the trip or during what we are doing or what we were doing, all right, okay, pardon, correct? Okay. You pray, say, 2 hours during your trip, every day. And then as soon as the plane landed on the other side, as soon as you destroyed all these dirty clothes and, you know, dirty smells, you know, out of your luggage and get back to civilized life, it is as if that, you know, that 2 hours prayer every day is something that I can talk about but need not continue. Not even a half, not even a quarter, not even one-tenth, sometimes I find. It happens to me before, and I'm sure that it will happen to everyone, always. You know, it is something that we need to, you know, remind ourselves again that, you know, whatever we have been doing, whatever we have been experiencing, it is not a one-off, it should be a continuous process. We say we rely on God because we have got difficulties. You know, brothers, remind me, you know, one time the car got stuck right in the mud. Is it during rain? Okay, you were getting dressed high, and unfortunately, let me just get you that for you. Okay, no. One time, for example, volunteers, in this case, I've already added to the warrants, I'm sorry. Okay, but you know, they got stuck, and then, you know, nothing could be done, and they pray to God, and they rely on God, and the end result of the story is really, oh, thank God, praise God, everything is sorted, and we could, you know, do whatever, or whatever, right? Okay, that was in that context. That kind of faith, for example, that kind of Bible reading and the urge to pray more and you know and the realization that we need to trust God more somehow get got thrown out of the window more or less, you know, soon after we have completed whatever we do, whether it is to Africa or other, rather, you know, after delivering the sermon, the RU teachers lessons or whatever. We need to guard against that because that is something that we is so common, it's so easy to come upon everyone, okay? And in that same vein, I would urge that we must maintain our newfound perspective. And not just to maintain, not just to try our best to keep going, because we have tasted the joy and the goodness of God within us. But we, throughout our work for the Lord, who would have, you know, discovered or found or, you know, reminded of, brother, you know, having a new perspective, whether it is in life, in terms of working for God, in terms of our faith or whatever. That is something that we need to keep going. A long time ago, when I was with some volunteers, we went to, we went to Kenya, right? And the volunteers were so moved by how, you know, the living condition of the local members. They want to do something about, you know, on the ground, you know, they plan on doing this and doing that, how can we help them, you know, what can we do, you know, if only we give up a cup of latte, cappuccino, we can have enough money to do this and do that. You know, that's the sort of general ideas. Anyway, few months down the line, everything is forgotten. And one day while they were having, you know, lunch in church, you know, in the dining hall, I overheard them talking about it. Not talking about this. So now what were they talking about? Oh, you know, this new badminton, tennis. This new tennis record. Racket. Track it. Okay, they were talking about tennis because I think it was at that time of Wimbledon or something like that. Okay, they were talking about, you know, who was playing who and sport equipment, you know, in the tennis and things like that. You know, this is so great. You know, this is something that I want. Oh, just £100. You know, the mentality. I'm not saying that buying a new tennis racket is wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that buying new things or nice things for yourself is wrong. No. But the point is, as soon as we come back to our comfortable surroundings, it is so easy to forget about, you know, the urge, the feeling that we have, you know, that, you know, we want to do something, we want to help. On the ground, it is so easy to say that. In actual fact, you know, if you have been to Africa, for argument's sake, then while you are there, you don't want to talk about, you know, what's on telly tonight, because there is no telly, you know, what's the big news, you know, on the other side of the world, you know, you're not going to talk about that. You talk about things, and you talk about things that you encountered. It's all right while you emerge in that surround, but at the end of the day, when you come out of it, your new perspective on life, on your faith, and the ministry of God, are we able to sort of maintain and keep it going? That is something that we just need to be aware of, okay? And the third point that I really want to raise, really, is we need to look ahead. Doing or working for God is one thing, but it is not an end to itself. As someone said, and I quote, okay, we must have the fundamental conviction that we were created for more, we have been redeemed for more, and we are empowered for more. That's just something that I read this morning, and I decided to just lick it. You know, but what about the beer, what have you?
Okay, I think this is a very good, you know, it's so appropriate to what I'm going to talk about. So I decided, listen, I'm really again, you know, it is so fundamental. We must have the foundation or fundamental conviction that we were created for more, you know, just not to enjoy life. You know, we have been redeemed, we have been saved by God for much more than, you know, sitting there and singing hymns and, you know, having services and things like that. And definitely, we are empowered for more. You know, God equipped us, God gave us the, you know, power, God gave us the ability to do much more. And therefore, we have got to move and push our head forward much more than what we're doing. There are many things waiting to be done, whether it is on a personal level, a local level, a national level, or a global level. There are works to be done. We ourselves, we need to get better. We ourselves, there are many areas whereby we can improve. In terms of our local environment, in a national or global, you know, theater, much more. There's a longer, you know, long-term play in place, which we need to just keep going. Therefore, never ever forget that once we have finished our job, our prayer, the scope of our prayer is now that little bit wider. You don't just pray beforehand and during, but forever from now on, you know, the scope of your prayer should be much wider. Because you now have taught some RE teachers, you have delivered a sermon, you have given some encouragement, maybe you have been to Africa or wherever, it doesn't matter. Okay, you've done some work. You have met more people, you have dealt with more things, and you know more, you equipped more. The scope, you know, of your prayer should be expanded ever and ever and ever wider. Because now you've got so much more. Your responsibility now maybe have moved on from doing that work into remembering that work in your prayers. That is the least that we can do, okay? We can never both be a know-it-all, we never know everything and anything, okay? And so we pursue and get better and better. And our visions, therefore, we must let our horizons go further and further, be able to see more and more. At the end of the day, okay, our job here, if you remember, coming back to the beginning of, you know, Tuesday, okay, there are fundamentally three goals for religious education. Traditionally, we just use it and we try to encase it within, you know, the traditional system, teaching children of youth, classes, organized activities, etc. But I challenge you to expand these three goals, okay, to everything that we do from now on for the glory of God. What is it again? We are to impart spiritual knowledge, to establish faith through the sharing, admonishing, exhorting the word of God. We are going to share the word of God, imparting spiritual knowledge so that those around us, whether they have already believed or whether they are just, you know, someone whom you met for the first time, they can come to be established in their faith in our Lord Jesus. That's the first goal. But that is not enough, because we need to train and help people, including ourselves, of course, to build up the appropriate behavior, deeds, or character, whatever word you like to use it. Why? Because it's not just the knowledge within, encased within our 2 years that counts. More importantly, taking it the next step forward is always the Christian lifestyle, the ethics that we hold. That is something that people can see. People cannot see what you have in your brain, the knowledge that you possess, you know, the faith that you have, unless we manifest it through our daily life. So it is a Christian or a Christ-like lifestyle that we have got to, not just ourselves, but help everyone to be able to manifest it every day, 24/7. Eventually, at the end of the day, we are to receive the power from the Holy Spirit from above, in order that we make use of that knowledge and the ethics and the lifestyle that we have to serve in the kingdom of God in whatever way that God wants us to serve in. That is the important thing that we have. In terms of religious education, and I use it in the widest scope in this little possibility, it's often been said, okay, the first generation, they believe.
The second generation, they assume. The third generation, they forget. And by the time you get to the fourth generation, you deny. Think about that. First generation, they believe. When it's passed down to the second generation, if we are not careful, they just assume it. By the time it gets to the third generation, it's very often that they tend to forget about it. And then by the time you move along, people will start to deny it. Therefore, from the history of Christianity, you see that every so often, you have a revival movement, okay? You've got new denominations or new ideas coming up. It is as if it is a revival, and then it starts all over again. But honestly, the buck stops here. The buck should stop at True Jesus Church. Because there shouldn't be any more movement, there shouldn't be any more ideas that should come in to enable people to start over again. Because we are the restored apostolic church. This is where the last station is. There is no more. Okay? So, whether we are the first, second, third, fourth, or whatever generation, whether we're talking about physically, is it our granddad, you know, our parents, ours, and then our children, or whether we're talking bringing people in, they believe for the first time, the first generations, you know, of our believers or whatever. We need to make sure that it goes on. Make sure that people do not assume, lest they forget. Because at the end, Antichrist might come out from us. They deny their faith. That is what the problem is. And lastly, I would leave you with one thought before I leave about 10 minutes. I'm very good at timing today. Right, sorry. I'll leave you just one thought before I finish. Very often when we work for God, no matter what we do, it is not what we say we believe in that matters. And please do not take me out of context, okay? I'm not saying that it doesn't matter what we believe in. Please turn it the other way around. It is not what we believe in that matters. When we go out and do the work of God, it is how we portray it. It is what we emphasize. It is what we get excited about that would influence people. It is what excites us. It is what we emphasize that gets people's attention. And people will notice it. It's not just a regurgitation of the knowledge that we have. We say we believe in this, you know. Can people actually see that you're excited about it? Can people actually see that, you know, you emphasize it all the time? That is very, very important. Because we go out, we're supposed to be the light and salt of this world. People might not be able, you know, to have the opportunity to come to a full understanding of what we believe in. Or they might not, you know, what to do that. But however, at the end of the day, when they see that someone is really excited about something, whether we're excited about the iPhone or the iPad, or whether we are excited, you know, about the new car or the new house, or excited at the new baby that, you know, we have, you know, people know, people can sense it. But can people sense that you're excited about your faith? You're excited about Jesus, whom you're talking about all the time? It is something. We need to get excited and emphasize all the time. You get an iPhone, you talk about it all the time. You get a new baby, you talk about him or her all the time, or whatever. That's human nature. But why can't we talk about Jesus, his work, and what we believe in, our faith, all the time? That, hopefully, will serve as just a reminder and a sharing and for mutual encouragement, of course, you know, and may God, you know, grant us the necessary strength and wisdom to know what we are doing. We spend enough time and enough money already coming here, joining the seminar. But this is just the beginning of the very beginning of a further road ahead. In the book of Joshua, you know, the priests are supposed to carry the ark in front of the people. And so the, you know, mass will just follow. Put God first, follow him, then we'll be able to enter the land of Canaan. We'll be able to conquer, you know, the city of Jericho. We are going to possess the land of Canaan and cast out, you know, all of the Gentiles and all the, you know, Jebusites or whatever, the seven tribes. Okay? I used to be able to recite it, but never mind. Okay, so this is what I want to share with you. Hopefully, you know, I know I haven't done much. I know sometimes I tend to waffle and, you know, ramble and goes off in all sorts of directions. And I do apologize for our cousins across the pond that if this is the first time you come to listen to my lectures, you know, I tend to go a bit faster than Okay, and has to go very, very fast, and fastest, you know, or whatever, you know. But you know, hopefully, whatever it is, you guys will be able to bring something back, whether we go to Africa or whether we just go back to your local church and serve there, doing whatever we are for God. You know, that we will do to the best of our ability, and may God bless and continue to be with us. I will leave the remaining 7 minutes if you guys have any questions. In what sense?
Like the basic beliefs, and it's been everything in writing, and you can go back and review.
Yes. Yes. First and foremost, I think all members of the Trinity Church, but of course, particularly for us, we must know our 10 basic doctrines. Okay. So it is essential that you go back and read up. I wouldn't say memorize, but at least understand and able to explain clearly what we believe in. There are many books and leaflets, you know. I always say, if we don't know anything about it, start with the leaflets, and then goes to the booklets, and then go through to the books. Of course, always with the Bible at your side, okay? No, there are plenty of leaflets on basic belief. What, where? Somewhere in the cupboard. Somewhere in the cupboard. If not, then I will send it to you. Okay. So, what I'm saying is, the leaflets are designed for people who don't know anything about the church. That's always a good starting point. Don't belittle the leaflet and say that, you know, it's not for us. It's not for me. You know, I am someone who needs, you know, telephone directory type of, you know, the tomb thesis and that type of idea. No, you always start with the leaflet. Why? Because that is designed for those who don't know about our church, that our friends, our relatives, or whoever, you know. We learn from it because they clearly and concisely, and it gives us a pointer as to, you know, the direction that we should be going. Even though you know it, try to learn from it as to, you know, what are they trying to portray? What are the main points that they want to do? Okay. Once I was in Kenya, you know, we conduct different seminars. You know, we spend hours and hours on different, you know, basic doctrines, just as we have, you know, in this environment. But think about it. On the ground, you met someone in the underground. You are going to talk to someone whom you have never seen before, right? Or you're going to talk to your colleagues, workmates, schoolmate, or whatever. Do they have the time and the patience to listen to you? I wouldn't say rambling on. To listen to you trying to explain the concept of water baptism in 11 hours. I doubt it very much. You know, that might come later. But in the first instance, remember one of the questions that I talk about in the book of Nehemiah. Are you able, are you articulate enough to sort of portray, you know, depends. Because you need to be able, for example, at a later stage maybe, that if necessary, you talk about the 10 basic beliefs in one sermon, 1 hour. You cover all the 10 basic beliefs. Just cover the main points. But you must also be able to cover any one of those in one session. You expand from 1 hour covering 10, then you say 1 hour covering, say, the three sacraments, and then 1 hour covering, you know, just one specific item or whatever. And then you move on, and hopefully eventually all of us will be trained or have the determination to become someone who can actually do things in a seminar situation, whereby we can talk about, you know, a particular subject for a few hours, if not tens of hours or whatever. You know, you move gradually, but we have got to start somewhere. And we don't know whom we are going to encounter. We don't know what they require. That's where the problem is. And that's where, to be honest, the fun is. That's where the fun is. Because every time you talk about the same thing, every time you talk about the same subject, whatever it is, you know, you are going to talk about it in different ways through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that is given to you. Because everyone needs different things, although it all comes under one big subject. Okay. Yes. Yes, it was in the northern, it was between the northern part of Kenya and the southern part of Somalia. But having said that, you know, the whole country is also affected to a certain extent, but not as famine as we know it. I think, just to pick up on that point, it would be very seldom, in actual fact, for me as someone who has been in Africa many times, I've never personally encountered that type of dire situation. Thank God. Okay. Unfortunately, we tend to leave those situations to the Red Cross or Oxfam or whatever. Not that saying that they don't need the gospel or whatever. But so far, you know, when we preach, when we go to do pioneering work, developing work, you know, evangelizing, etc., you know, it is relatively, you know, safe and relatively stable and, you know, not in a very medical or food or resources constrained situation. Okay. Right. Anyway, I know that you guys don't want to hear me anymore. So in that case, I'm going to wrap up. I think that's enough of my whatever I did for the week. And I truly thank God that, you know, I'm able to meet all of you. Share with you, to learn with you, and really move that, you know, so many people have at this very early stage already determined to go out and do something about it. But please remember, not just Africa, because these things that we know, that we've learned of determination, should be applicable wherever we go. I cannot emphasize that too much. Don't just take this as a project, something that is one off, that is not an experience, as if, you know, top 50 places that you want to visit before you die, or the top 10 restaurants that you want to go to, you know, before you reach the age of 50 or whatever. You know, it's not one of those things. Never put it into that kind of pigeonhole, because we are working for God. Doesn't matter where, doesn't matter when, for the rest of our life, it's our duty. It is what God expects of us. Okay? So before we have lunch, let's do that and pray. Thank God for this fellowship together, and may the Lord bless and guide us all.